this evening, we're turning our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we're going to be looking at some wisdom for the new year from Proverbs chapter number 3. Now, as you know, the theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom, and the word wisdom appears no less than 125 times. And there are 31 Proverbs in this book. That means a proverb a day keeps the problems away. Well, we'll still have problems, but we won't be worried about them. Amen. So let me encourage you to read a proverb a day, and they are chock-a-block full of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 3 has been described as the mountain peak of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And we are going to look at some wisdom for the new year from Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 to 13 as we begin. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And please follow along with me as I read. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Verse 13, why don't we read this together on two. One, two. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. Well, we're going to look at five truths for a happy new year. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we need wisdom. And tonight together we pray, Father, claiming the promise that if any man lack wisdom, which we do, Lord, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Lord, we thank you, you won't hold it back tonight, that your word is open unto all those who are prepared to hear and see. Lord, help us, we pray, to get wisdom and understanding. And may the Holy Spirit of God lead us into truth. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray. Amen. Well, as you may have heard this statement being made before, that someone once said, a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. Now, as we head into the new year, each and every one of us have exactly the same potential to live for the Lord in 2017. Every single one of us who are Christians have exactly the same amount of days. Is that right? 365 of them. And we are counting down already. And so God gives us the same amount of time. 365 days to use those days for God. And either we will invest those days in wasted things, or we will invest that time in eternal things. And you and I need to make a choice, and it's good to do that at the beginning of the year, which direction that we will head in. And it's important for us, and God knows it, that we need some wisdom for the new year, don't we? We need God's help to start the new year off on the right foot spiritually. As I asked this morning, what decisions or what goals have you set in place for 2017? Now, we have a yearly theme coming up, and that might help you, I trust it will, and encourage us together. But you ought to have some personal spiritual goals. You know, it's interesting when you read about New Year's resolutions and the resolutions that people make in the world. Here are the top three of the New Year commitments by men. Number one, stop smoking. Number two, spend less money. And number three, lose weight. So, there we have addictions, finances, and physical health. All right, ladies, here are the goals for women when it comes to New Year's resolutions. Number one, lose weight. Number two, be a better person. And number three, stop smoking. Stop smoking. Now, there's nothing wrong with, okay, wanting to do more when it comes to our physical health, or wanting to be wiser in our finances, of course. But as we look at the world's New Year's resolutions, what do we see? Well, we see that God is left out. God is left out. It is the self-focus. And let me encourage you, this year as you start out, 2017, focus on growing in the Lord. Amen? Whether you're young or old, whether you're weak or strong physically, we can all grow spiritually in 2017. Amen? We can all grow in the Lord. And tonight we're going to look at five wise steps that will lead to a happy new year. What does that mean? Well, this morning we looked at seven, so that means it's a shorter message tonight. Amen? All right, so let's get started. What is the first nugget of wisdom that God gives us? Well, notice that God calls us to treasure His Word, to treasure the Word of God. And so often that's where it starts. Verse number one, look with me again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The law and the commandments are words to describe the entire volume of the Word of God. And so God calls us first to attention, to do something with His Word. Well, what does the Bible say? Not to forget it, to keep it. How do we do that? Well, notice in verse number three, an interesting statement is made. Bind them about thy neck. Now, here Solomon is using a description of the Word of God as something valuable and something precious. Just like jewelry around one's neck, Solomon is encouraging the readers to value the Word of God, to claim it as the most precious thing in our lives. Now, when something's valuable to you, ladies, what do? Well, you keep it close to you. You make sure that it's close, and perhaps you wear something special and you keep it close and you wear it often. If it's a wedding ring, you keep it on. If it's a precious heirloom, you keep it close to you. And the Bible is teaching us tonight that God says we need to treasure His Word. We need to treasure His Word. Bind it about your neck, just like a precious article of jewelry. We are to treasure the Word of God. We are to adorn our lives with the Word of God. Let me ask you this evening, how precious is God's Word to you? Is it important at all? What priority is His Word to you? Do you believe that He hath the words of life? Remember what Simon Peter said to the Lord? You know, when the Lord turned around and He said to His disciples, are you going to go also after a multitude left Him? And Peter turned around and said, Lord, where else would we go? You are the one with the words of life. Amen. And we have the words of life right here. We can walk with the Lord each day in His presence. And so His Word ought to be precious to us. Let me encourage you to make a wise goal in this new year, to esteem His Word more precious, to spend more time in the Word of God. And as we adorn our lives with the Word of God, we will have a happy new year. How do we know? Well, look at verses one. We'll look at verse number two. The Bible says, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How many of you would like that for the new year? Length of days. So what does that mean? That's speaking about the quality of our lives. We have 365 days in a year. And the Bible tells us that we will receive length of days. That means not only will we have those amount of days, but those days will be full and fulfilling days. The Bible doesn't say we won't have trials, but the Bible says that those days will be fulfilling. Those days will be full with spiritual riches if we treasure the Word of God. Notice the Bible says that long life is also a result of treasuring the Word of God. Now, how does that work? Well, each and every one of us here this evening have responsibilities. Is that right? We've got work responsibilities. We've got family responsibilities. We've got responsibilities spiritually in our home. We have responsibilities to our relatives as well. We've got a whole list of responsibilities and pressures that we cannot change. Is that right? Can't just take them away. And the world, that's what they want to do. They want to erase certain pressures and be financially free and never have to work again. And they think that that is how life is lived. Well, God gives us responsibilities. And there are certain pressures that you and I cannot change, and we have to deal with them biblically. But you see, there are other pressures in our life that are not meant to be there. Isn't that right? Last year, we spoke a whole year about this issue of faith. You see, when we are not living by faith, we are living in fear. That's right. And when you and I are afraid, our body reacts to that worrying thought, that fearful thought. Have you ever felt sick in your stomach? So sick that you were affected physically, literally, by that fear or by that anxiety or by that worry. You see, our bodies are designed in a certain way. What we think does affect our body. And so as you and I spend time in the Word of God, and as we grow in wisdom, as we make some right choices to put truth into our lives, you and I will be transformed, amen, in the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. The more you and I trust in God, the less we will fear. God has designed our body a certain way to respond in sudden situations. And adrenaline is your best friend when you need to put your foot on the brake because someone hasn't stopped at a stop sign. Is that right? Adrenaline is your best friend in those situations, but adrenaline is a horrible enemy if that's how you live your daily life, because you're full of worry, you're full of anxiety, you're full of hopelessness. Why? Because your hope is not in God. Our hope is in the Lord. How can we hope in the Lord? By spending much time in His Word. Isn't that right? Now, isn't it true that the day you spend in the Word is much better than the day you don't? Is that right? Why? Because we have hope in God. We claim promises. We believe in prayer. We see God's hand even through the trials. But when we don't spend time in His Word, when we don't treasure it, it will affect our health. It will affect our health. Now, God isn't saying if you're sick, then you're not reading your Bible. That's not what He's saying. I recently heard this heretical preacher, Joseph Prince, say this, that your health problem is because of your lack of faith. If you want to eliminate disease, if you want to eliminate death even, he said that Stephen, when he was stoned, had a choice whether he would die. What an absolute pathetic interpretation of Scripture. Because he said, Lord, into my hands I commit thy spirit. Because he said that to God. He said, forgive them. And he chose to depart. He could have chosen to stay. Just like Paul when he was stoned and he rose up. You see how cunning you can twist Scripture. That's completely false. Stephen was meant to die as the first martyr. And he died with a wonderful testimony. That was God's choice, not Stephen's. And Paul got to live another day, amen, to preach again. That was God's choice. Now, if you face physical suffering and disease, it doesn't mean you're not spending time in the Word of God. I hope that's clear. That's false teaching. If you're listening to that junk, throw it out the window. Ridiculous. But for us Christians, we need to realize that we do add pressures to the load we already bear. When we live in unbelief, the Word of God, as we treasure it, will give us length of days, long life. Notice verse 2, peace. Peace shall it add to thee. Do you remember the verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2? The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How can we experience God's grace and peace? Well, spending time in the Word of God, getting to know our Savior, having a personal relationship with God. That's what this book is all about. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. We have a relationship. How can we experience the peace of God? Treasure the word of God. Amen. There's wisdom for you and I. Treasure his word. The Bible says, not only bind them about thy neck, verse 3, but write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you remember what David said regarding God's word? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's talking about memorizing the word of God, hiding it in your heart, not just reading it, but if you treasure something, you'll keep it close. You'll keep it close to you. It's like that precious garment, ladies, that you always want to wear. That same piece of clothing that's your favorite. You'll wear it. You'll keep it close to you. Is that right? Absolutely. And if something's precious to you, you'll keep it close. And the Bible says we are to not only just read the word of God, but we are to memorize it. We are to put it down into our lives by memorizing it. Now, none of us here have a spiritual gift in memorization. It's not among the list that we learnt about last year, is it? So we need to work at it. We need to memorize the word of God. And if you have a fear or an anxiety in a certain area of your life, let me encourage you to memorize verses that target that issue. Okay? How do we memorize verses as people? We think topically. That's how we think. If you want to be a better soul winner, then memorize verses about soul winning. If you want to be, if you have a struggle with a certain sin habit, then memorize verses that you read in the Bible about that particular sin habit. And if you struggle like I do with memorizing the reference, but you can do the verse, but you forget the reference, that's my struggle, then let me encourage you to quote the reference first and last after the verse. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. So by repeating the reference before and after, that'll help you remember the reference. That's just a little tip I picked up over the holidays. So let me encourage you to bind it around thy neck, the precious word of God, and lay it upon your heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You see, there'll be wonderful results just from this first nugget of wisdom. There'll be a change in our lives. Our lives will be favorable to God. Amen. Our lives will be favorable to God. God will be able to use us, and our lives will be a blessing to others as well. People will see the change by simply treasuring the word of God. Let me encourage you. Probably the most important point this evening. Treasure God's word. A life adorned with the word of God leads to a happy new year. Amen. All right. Secondly, notice what the Bible says. Our next nugget of wisdom. The Bible says in verse 5, a familiar verse to us all, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. That's our second goal in this new year. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, a new year is ahead of us, and we all have new big decisions to make. They may not be right now. They may be later on in the year. But each of us will have to make some big choices, some big, some small. And God gives us some crucial, necessary wisdom that we cannot live this year without, which is here in the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Why does God tell us to do that? Because so often we do to the contrary. That's the contrast in verse 5. And lean not unto thine own understanding. What do you and I usually do when we have a decision to make? Well, we lean on our own understanding. We do what we think is best, or we come up with a plan that we think will solve the problem or lead to the best outcome for me. And God says that is the opposite to how I want you to live. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Why? Because the Bible tells us later on in the book of Proverbs that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, to you and I, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's probably one of the most stirring verses in the Bible. That you and I can think we are so right about something, but we are heading down the path of destruction. Wow. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We need to trust that God knows exactly what's going on in our lives, and He has a path laid out for us, and He simply wants us to follow His will, His path. Let me encourage you, young people. When it comes to what you're going to do next year, those of you graduating next year, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because that will lead to the wrong result. That won't lead to a happy new year for anyone who calls themselves a child of God. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Friends, we need to acknowledge God. The word acknowledge has a word within that word. What is that? To know. Acknowledge. You see, we can know the will of God. We can know. And oftentimes we just need to be patient. We just need to trust Him. When we don't understand what is going on, we need to be careful not to second guess God and say, all right, well, I'll just do what I think is best. And God seems to be leading this way, and I'll do that and go ahead of Him, and then I'll solve my own problems once again. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to rely upon Him. We need to understand that His ways are not our ways. He may have something completely different planned for you and I than what we assume for 2017. What it boils down to is this. When we have a decision to make, the Bible tells us, let him ask of God. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means that we're willing to even let God say no to what we've already made up our mind about. We may not have said it, verbalized it, but we've decided in our heart. That's what we do. We lean on our own understanding. We put all our trust. Leaning on something means you're putting your weight on it. You're completely relying on it. And you and I, when we lean on our own understanding, we are leaning on a faulty foundation that will break and we will fall. But if we lean upon God, He will never let us fall. He will lead our paths. He will direct us. You and I don't know what decisions or circumstances or crises will come up this year. Let me encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to acknowledge Him and say, God, you know what you're doing. Lord, show me in your word what you would have me to do. Is there something you've already shown in your word, or is there something that you will show me? I will wait for you to direct my paths and show me what to do. What an important nugget of wisdom for the new year. To treasure the word of God and then to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Notice thirdly, we are not to be wise in our own eyes. The Bible says, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Depart from evil. Now, pride is connected to the previous wise choice we need to make about trusting in God. You see, it's pride that says that I can solve my own problems. And here are some proud statements, okay? The Bible says, don't think that you are wise in your own eyes. And that's something we all need to work on. We've got it worked out, and we have the wisdom to take care of this problem or this situation or this decision. We need God's wisdom. You know, Solomon, when he became king, he realized in that moment that he had no ability at all to do what God has called him to do. That was a confession of humility. He said to God, basically, God, I can't do this. I don't have the wisdom. You haven't called me to be king because I can do it. In fact, I can't do this at all. I'm in trouble. And when God said, ask one thing from me and I'll grant it to you, what did he ask God for? For wisdom. For wisdom. That was an act of humility. And it takes humility for you and I to say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation, especially as men. We need to be careful because our sinful flesh has never been saved. And pride is still there to rear its ugly head. And here are some proud statements. I'm old enough to know what I'm doing. I'm old enough to know what I'm doing. Do you realize that wisdom is not connected to age? Now, it can be, but wisdom is you and I applying God's word over time. If we haven't applied God's word over time, it doesn't matter how old we are. The question is, are we applying his word? Are we applying God's word to our lives? So that is a proud statement. I'm old enough to know what I'm doing. No one's going to tell me what to do. Friend, that is a proud statement. God says, be not wise in thine own eyes. That's the response of the sinful flesh. That's not from the Spirit of God. That's from your flesh. No one tells me what to do. Wow, really? Well, we have a whole book here of God telling us what to do. If we say that, we're in trouble. And our wives will let us know. Amen? No one tells me what to do. No one tells me. That's a proud statement. All right, what about another proud statement? This feels right, so it must be right. It feels right, and that's what Brother Huey is speaking about, pragmatism. If it feels good to me, if it's right for me, then it must be right. Well, watch out. Many things that feel right in this world today will lead to death and destruction. If it feels, that's a proud statement. That's our sinful nature that rebels against God. Be not wise in your own eyes, Christian. Hey, I've always done it this way, so I'm just going to keep doing it this way. Peter said this morning, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add new Christian virtues to your faith. The Bible doesn't say live necessarily the way you were raised. If you were saved as an adult or a teenager, okay, the reasoning in the Bible isn't live the way that you are raised in your culture. When we are saved, we receive a new culture. It is God's culture. It is the word of God, the Christian culture. That's how we are to live. That is the culture that is to shape our lives as God's people. Why? Because we are the children of the living God. And so we need to be careful of these proud statements. Well, this is how I was raised, and that's how I'm going to live my life. Well, that is not necessarily wisdom. If it doesn't contradict the word of God, then it's good. Then obviously God has influenced that culture. You know, there are many good things within the cultures we were raised in. But there are many evil things. There are many things that are opposite to the word of God. We need to be careful not to be wise in our own eyes. You know, if I do something, God will bless it. You know, whatever I do, God will bless it. That's not true. Those are proud statements. And the Bible teaches that the fool is the one who thinks himself wise. And true wisdom comes from humility. How can we humble ourselves before God? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 7, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. We need to be prepared to admit that we can be wrong in any moment of time, in any situation. Is that right? No, we don't like to admit it. But we can be wrong in any time, in any situation. We have to fear the Lord. We have to seek God's wisdom. We have to admit to God that we need his help and his direction. We are to depart from evil. As we depart from that which is evil, the blessing is promised in verse 8, and it shall be health to thy navel, a marrow to thy bones. And that's interesting. Again, the physical well-being of one who does not live proudly, who lives in humility. The Bible says we will be blessed. Do you want a happy new year in 2017? Yes or no? Amen. Well, don't be wise in your own eyes. Be willing to admit that you're wrong. Be humble before the Lord. Why? Because God resisteth the proud. God does. He resists the proud. In our homes, in our workplaces, in the church, God resists the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Be not wise in your own eyes. The need for humility. And as we move on, God brings us to our fourth goal when it comes to his wisdom this year. Notice verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, it's interesting when you look in the Word of God that God speaks about hell more than he does about heaven, but he speaks about money more than those two combined. God speaks about money so much because he knows that if we don't honor God with our finances, we will spiral down into a place of woe as his people. And all these verses we've looked at so far have to do with what? Our relationship with God. Treasuring his word. Trusting in the Lord. Not being wise in our own eyes. Fearing the Lord. And suddenly he's talking about our bank account. Our money. Wow. So you see what God is saying here this morning, this evening, that our honoring the Lord with our finances has everything to do with our relationship with God. Has everything to do. You see, the Bible tells us that we are stewards of God. Is that right? Now, what is a steward? We don't usually use that word these days, do we? But a steward, as we have learned over these past few years, is a servant that looks after the wealth of the master. The master entrusts that servant with his wealth to multiply it and to use it for the master's honor and for the master's purpose. It's not the steward's, but he has control of it to use for the master. And that is who you and I are as born-again Christians. God leaves us here as stewards. And the wealth that we have, the measure that he gives us and purposes for us, we are to use wisely for his glory. And part of that wisdom is given here that we are to honor the Lord with our substance. Friend, if you want to experience a happy new year, let me encourage you to honor the Lord with your substance. Let me encourage you to be generous towards God. Now notice it says to honor the Lord. Amen. We are to give to God. Any giving that is true giving is giving to God. That's how we can give generously. Because you and I are not giving to man when we give our tithes and our offerings. We are giving to God. That's why we have the offering in the worship service. Because I believe that it is an act of worship. As we give to the Lord. The Bible tells us we are to give our tithe. And God commanded that and showed principles in the Bible before the law was given. And the Bible shows us it was brought into the New Testament. We are to give a percentage of our a substance of our earnings to the Lord as an act of worship to honor him. The tithe means a tenth. And as Christians, well, God will give us the grace to even give more than that. But God expects, that's something that he expects, that's not ours, that we give back to God through the local New Testament church. Now, here's an Old Testament principle right here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, the first fruits is the first portion, and it refers to that which comes in first. Now, practically for us, what does that mean? Well, God expects us to give our tithe before tax and not after tax. That's how it applies to you and I. You know, we don't have fields and crops and to bring in the first fruits in that perspective. As it pertained to the Old Testament, when the first crops were offered to God, when the firstlings of the flock were offered to God. But as you and I increase in our substance, as we get paid, as we receive benefits, whatever that may be, the increase, the first fruits, is God's. Are we honoring the Lord with our substance? Are we giving to God? God says, this is wisdom for the new year. Here's the promise in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us if you give money in church, God is going to make you rich. No, it says if you honor the Lord. Friends, he knows the heart. Those who think, for example, in charismatic churches, that the more they give, the more they'll get, they're not honoring the Lord. They're just honoring themselves. And they're going to walk out empty-handed and broken and discouraged. That's what's happening to people today. But see, when you and I worship God and honor Lord, and honor the Lord through our giving, He will provide for our needs, and He will do even more so. He will bless us with blessings. Now, here the illustration is a farmer whose crops are overflowing. Why? Because God blesses the generous Christian. God blesses the giving Christian. And here these verses aren't just talking about our tithe. I mean, here at Coastline Baptist Church, we have what I can think of three different ways of giving. We've got our tithe, which is expected of the Lord. And then we have faith missions giving. Now, that's not commanded in the Bible. It's a choice that you and I make by faith to commit each year to an amount that we will give to the Lord to support world missions. And then we also have our building fund. That's something new. Giving for the future of the faith. Now, all these three means of giving are different. They're separate. And we need to be careful as Christians to honour the Lord with our giving. And honouring the Lord means not robbing Peter in order to pay Paul. You know, sometimes we don't give our tithe because we give to missions that week. And sometimes we don't give to missions because we give our tithe the next week. And God's saying that's not how it works. You are to honour me with any giving. And if you give to the Lord, then it needs to be to Him. And it needs to be the first fruits. And we need to understand that as we give in church, that it's an act of worship. And it is everything to do with our relationship with God. God loveth a cheerful giver. And please, if you're giving to missions, don't stop giving your tithe. Amen? And if you've made a commitment to give by faith, trust God to provide for that commitment, even when times are lean. Please don't stop giving your tithe because you're giving to the building fund 1 week. You see, God has a plan for the church. And as we give to His work, then He provides for His work. Amen? But we need to honour the Lord. That is a nugget of wisdom for you and I. If we want to see God's blessings, if we want to see God's blessings upon His church, then woe be to us if we have less enthusiasm than the charismatic churches. Amen? Woe be to us if we have less desire towards God than they have towards themselves. Let's honour the Lord with our wealth in 2017. But let me assure you, He'll trust that faith. He'll test that faith. If we make a commitment to give to missions, He's going to test that faith. He's going to say, well, do you really trust me to provide? And then He might send a season of leanness to teach us how He still provides in the famine. Amen. He still provides in a time of leanness, in a time of less. You see, you can't go wrong with giving to God. But you know what our flesh tells us? If you give to God, you're going to be worse off. But is that what the Bible says? Not at all. If you honour God, He will honour you. Now, fifthly, do not despise God's chastening. Do not despise God's chastening. The Bible tells us there in Proverbs chapter number 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. And what a wonderful reminder as we move into the new year that we are still in God's school of faith. Amen. The banners might go down today and new ones up next week, but we are still in the school of faith. And that means our master teacher will have to educate us through this new year. The word chasten here in chapter number 3 not only refers to disciplinary correction, but it also means to teach. It means to educate. You know, God's chastening is not always a direct result of sinful acts in your life and mine. Yes, when we do sin, He chastens us because He loves us. But also when we have an area that He needs to work on, He will also correct us in order to help us to grow. That's what the word means. And we need to be careful, and here is the wisdom, not to despise the chastening of the Lord. You see, there are some big lessons for us to learn this year. We don't know what they are, but God will bring them our way. And we need to be careful not to despise His
work in our lives. Why? Because what's the first thing that you and I say when a problem comes into our life? Come on, you can tell me. What's the first thing we say to God? Why? Why did you do this to me? Why did you do this to me? Why have you allowed this to happen right now in this day? And you know I'm already struggling. Why did you allow this to happen now? Lord, I don't understand this. You know what we're saying when we say that to God? We're saying to God, Lord, I don't need any work. I'm fine as I am. In fact, you don't know what you're doing. We need to be very careful not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And we all do it. That's why God gives us wisdom. Don't despise it. How often do you and I stop and say, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me through this? Hopefully that comes a little bit after that question of why. Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? How am I meant to grow through this, Lord? What is the lesson as you lead me through this year? Lord, help me to grow. Help me not to despise your chastening. See, when you and I doubt God, when you and I despise his chastening, what are we doing? What are we saying about the Lord? Lord, you do not... You don't know what you're doing, but also, Lord, you do not love me. That's what we're saying. Lord, this isn't loving. If you love me, you wouldn't allow this into my life. But the Bible tells us to the contrary, because the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And we need to not quickly forget this important lesson in the Christian life. If you are his child, if he loves you, then he will chasten you this year. He will correct you. He will teach you. He will educate you through correction. And that is the love of God. Why? Because he needs to do that to stop you from heading down the path of destruction. He needs to do that to help you to trust in him more. He has to do that. He has to step into our lives. Why? Because we lack wisdom. And we need to help. We need God to help us this year. So don't despise it, the Bible says. When you are chastened, don't grow weary of his correction. That means you and I saying, look, I give up. This is too much. This is too much, God. I can't handle this. You see, God never allows into your life and mine what we cannot grow through by faith. Amen. We can't do it, but he can. He can do it in our lives. He can help us to grow through it by faith. He can help us. He can change our heart. Is that right? You can be so angry and despising something that's happening right now. But you know what? God can change your heart about it. And when he changes your heart, he changes your life. And your relationship with him grows sweeter and closer. And he has some more lessons for us to learn. But don't despise his chastening, Christian. If you despise his chastening, grow weary of his correction, and you are a candidate to drop out of the race of faith. Don't do that this year. Amen. Such important wisdom for us. Let me encourage you, first of all, to treasure the word of God, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Honor the Lord with your wealth and do not despise God's wisdom. And if we do that, verse 13 tells us the result. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. Happy New Year. Amen. Wisdom for the new year. I trust you and I will grow and seek the Lord to help us to apply his word and to get wisdom as we move forward together.